Now I'd like you to turn with me this morning to the passage that we read together just now, a few moments ago. And I'd like us to take verses 54 to 56 as our text this morning. Verses 54 to 56. Sorry, 54 to 57. Where the Apostle Paul says, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, there were some in the church at Corinth, in those early days of the gospel, who denied that there would be a bodily resurrection. Can you believe it? Church members denying the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unthinkable, but nevertheless it happened. Probably it was because the Corinthians, being Greeks, were still tainted with Greek philosophy, and it is that the body is bad and the spirit is good, and it's spiritual things which are to be valued. And for them to know that there was to be a resurrection of the body, and that there was to be a glorified body for each believer in the new order, to them it seemed to be foolish. Now, they did this, and in a way, we ought to be grateful to them. Not because they were in error, but because if they had not been so foolish, we would not have had this glorious passage concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the believer. And we wouldn't have had it in its fullness as we have it here. Now, not only were there those who were disposed to deny the resurrection, but they were also disposed to be argumentative. In our reading, we started off and Paul said, "But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come?" And the Apostle Paul said, "Foolish one, how foolish." And they questioned the nature of the resurrection body. And to argue like this is to earn the apostles' rebuke of being foolish. You know, it's one thing not to know and to seek to be enlightened from the Word of God, but it's quite another thing to be argumentative about it, and that's what the Apostle Paul is dealing with. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul shows how foolish it is to ask a question, how are the dead raised, and with what kind of body will they come? Because the Apostle Paul said, there are plenty of examples, even in the natural world, to show what a foolish question that is. In the natural world, the farmer sows seed, and this little hard pellet goes into the ground and it dies, and from that seed comes a plant of corn or of something else. And that is an example of death and resurrection. It's only at the natural level, but if the Lord does that in nature, how foolish to doubt that we can be raised from the dead. And then this other question, what sort of body will we have? The Apostle Paul said, look around you. The heavenly bodies, they've all got different kinds of glory. There are different kinds of flesh. We have one kind of flesh, animals have another, and so on. There are so many examples of what the Lord can do and has done, that to wonder about our resurrection body is the height of foolishness. Examples that we have around us in the natural world, what they ought to do is to lead us to rest confidently in what God has in store for us and to wait patiently for it. So that's the context of this whole chapter, that there are those denying that there is a bodily resurrection and being disposed to argue about how it happens and what sort of body we would have when we would rise. And the Apostle Paul deals with that so beautifully in this whole passage. And what I want us to consider for a while this morning is are the two things, death and resurrection. And I want us to be referring to these verses as we go along. Now, the first point that I want to deal with, the first section of what I have to say, I've entitled it, The Reign of Death, The Sovereignty of Death in this world in which we lived, in which we live. Now, when Adam sinned, as you know, we all sinned in him, and we are all subject to death, both physical and spiritual. And so we are all made of dust, and we all bear Adam's likeness, which is what the Apostle Paul says here. So if we are to be forgiven, if we are to be received into glory, we cannot go into glory bearing the bodies that we have now, because they are perishable. And the eternal kingdom is spiritual and imperishable. It is eternal. So the perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. That's what the Apostle Paul says here. And so because we are a subject to death, we cannot go to glory as we are. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So death, because of sin, death is victorious. It is victorious over the whole world. Now, the grave is victorious, and we are all subject to death because of sin. We are all going to the grave because we have sinned. And even though we have been forgiven, we are still subject to death. When the Apostle Paul speaks of the gospel and the victory of the gospel, he says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And the Apostle Paul explains for us that the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. We are subject to death because of a deadly sting. When Adam sinned, he disobeyed God, and that sin rendered him subject to death. And so you and I, every one of us, have been stung by sin, and that sting is fatal. It's fatal both physically and spiritually. We are separated from God, and we are all doomed to death. because of the sting of sin. It's like an insect bite or a snake bite. When it bites us, it injects that into our body, which will spread through our body, and untreated can lead to our death. And it's like that spiritually. The sting of death is sin. Sin has entered our being, and it's entered the being of every man and woman and boy and girl upon the earth and throughout history. And because the sting of death is sin, we are all subject to death. And then also the Apostle Paul says that sin is deadly. What is the strength of sin? Well, the Apostle Paul says here that the strength of sin, the power of sin, is the law. Now, that is dealt with by the Apostle Paul in greater length in Romans 7. But what he's dealing with is dealing with a foolishness that is to be found within us. If we begin to be distressed at our alienation from God, what many of us do is we turn over a new leaf. We think, well, I'm a good neighbour, I'm a fairly decent sort of person, but there's this, that and the other wrong. And so I just need a bit of touching up and turning over a new leaf, and I will be right with God. Now, the Apostle Paul says it's not like that. Sin is like poison in the blood. Sin pervades us. And we need to know how strong sin is within us if we are to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the power of sin is the law. The Lord gave the law at Sinai. The Lord gives his commandments, and he gave it to the children of Israel to show them how strong sin is. Think of the Ten Commandments, and think of any one of them, and think, well, I'm going to obey them. And what you find is that whatever it is that you're trying to do, the commandment says you must do this, you must do it fully, and the sin is shown in all its power and in all its awfulness. It's not the law which is wrong. The commandments of the law are good, but what the law does and what God intended to happen is that the law should confront us with the power and the depth of our sin. Even if we look at the law in its summary, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbour as yourself. How many of us, has any of us, has any one of us loved the Lord as we should? And has any one of us loved our neighbour as ourselves? You know, there are some Christians who are daft enough to think that that second command says that we are to love ourselves. It's commanded to love yourself and to love your neighbour as yourself. That's not the force of the words at all. You see, commandments are given to people who are already sinful. And how we love ourselves. We don't need to be taught to look after number one. And the second part of the law says that just as we are filled with self-love, that ought to be our attitude to our neighbour. And of course it isn't. And as we think on the law, And as we meditate upon it, if we try to keep it, we find that there is power within us which negates the law, which makes us unable to keep it in any way at all. And the law reveals the power of sin. So death is sovereign. We are subject to death. We are of the earth, and we are powerless to help ourselves. We are subject to a victorious death. Now, our text speaks of death being overcome. It says, O death, where is your victory? Well, that is because the power of death has been broken in the gospel. But without Christ, death is sovereign. The whole world is subject to death. So that brings me, secondly, to the work of Christ. Because our text speaks of victory over death and victory over the grave through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the gospel, well, naturally, our text, the passage says, we bear the likeness of the earthly man. That is, we are in Adam and we are subject to death. And then Paul says, we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven. That is, we shall be like Christ. Now, so deadly is the sting of death and of sin, we are helpless to deliver ourselves. We cannot help ourselves. We are subject to death and hell. But Christ has come from heaven, and he has come to live and to die for us. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins upon the cross. He willingly tasted what? He tasted death for us. And then, in triumph over death, he rose from the grave. So our Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross, he withdrew the sting of death. He conquered death, and he did this for us. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross, he conquered death. He withdrew its sting. But death is still our enemy. And earlier in the passage, the Apostle Paul says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death has yet to be destroyed. But Christ, in his work upon the cross, has overcome death. He has overcome sin for you and for me, for everyone who believes in him. So this brings me to my third section, and that is the consummation of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that all those who trust in Christ and who follow him have their sins forgiven. We are justified, we are cleansed. If we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, those things are true of us. You and I, we have our sins forgiven, we have been given new hearts, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified, we are cleansed. So we are clean in the sight of God. And when God looks down upon you and me, if we belong to Christ, then he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees his righteousness. But we are still subject to death. We all have to die. And the gospel does not promise us everlasting life here on this earth. The gospel does not promise us everlasting life in this body, because this body, my body, is destroyed. It has the seeds of death in it because of sin. I have been renewed spiritually, but my body still has to die. We all have to die. And when we die, our spirits go to be with Christ. And make no mistake about it, for our spirits to go to be with Christ is far better. But there is more than that. Christ has conquered death, and so must we conquer death in him. This is what Paul says. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Quoting from the Old Testament. So, death has been swallowed up in victory. How? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, there is more to come than the forgiveness of sins. There is more to come than the new heart and the new nature. There is a resurrection body. What's it going to be like? That's a foolish question. There's a multitude of glories, even in this creation. But our body that we have will be a spiritual body like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ conquered death. Now, death is a defeated foe. And it is an enemy. But there is a day coming when death itself will be destroyed. And then we will be forever with the Lord. Christ has conquered death, and we will conquer death in him. And how will this be? Well, the Apostle Paul says, listen, listen, I tell you a mystery. We won't all sleep, but we will all be changed. And what Paul says is that not every one of us, in fact, will pass through death. Because when Christ comes again, there will be his people here on earth at that time. So we won't all sleep, but we will all be changed. And when Christ comes again, we will be transformed. How long will it take? No time at all. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, when Christ comes again, our bodies will slough off all their sin, all their death, and we will be given new bodies, glorified bodies, bodies without sin, without any knowledge of sin, bodies like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why the Apostle Paul says, death has been swallowed up in victory. But it is to come. And if you labour, as I do, with the realization that there is sin in our members, even though it is forgiven, it is a distress to us, but we will be free from it. If, like me, you are aching and getting and creaking as you get older, then that wasn't meant to be like that. But we will be given a resurrection body, which will be free from age and death, and we will be able to serve the Lord perfectly forever and forever. Now, if we know that, if this is that for which we look, that to which we look, then no wonder the Apostle Paul finishes this passage. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Because we think, what is the point often of what we do, it's so feeble. But we do that in the light of what is to come. And it is through the feeble testimony, the feeble work of the Lord's people, that he brings his kingdom in. And it is not in vain in the Lord. So we won't all sleep, but we will all be changed, all the Lord's people. And when that happens, death will be swallowed up in victory when Christ comes again. And until then, we are to stand firm. We are to let nothing move us. So death is sovereign. It reigns. And it is because of sin. It is because of that sin which entered into the creation right at the beginning. And it cannot be eradicated until the heavens and the earth and our bodies are all renewed. And that is part of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ when these bodies, with all their sin, are transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and then we shall be forever with the Lord. May the Lord enable us to believe in him, to trust him. And if we are so distressed at our weakness, if we are so distressed at our impotence, Christ can deliver us from our sin here and now. But we still feel our weakness, and Christ will deliver us from all that weakness, from that sin, from that, from those awful effects of sin. He will deliver us when he comes again, in a moment, in an instant. May the Lord enable us to look to him and to follow him and to be steadfast and immovable. Amen.